The book of Tov. Today's daf is daf Chof Zion in Tanis. Right from the two dots near the top of the page. Kiluhin Mamodos. The Mishnah said these are the Mamodos. That's the place that they basically, it's like a platform, but it really means when they davened and they laned in honor of the to support the Karbonos. So it says these are Mamodos, and then it goes on to explain the Pasuk, Lefish Nemer Savas Bnei Yisrael. That's not explaining it, the Gemara was asking. Eluhin Mamodos, Lefish Nemer, how does that go together? Just say what the Mamodos are. Describe them. What are you explaining? It doesn't make sense that the two things don't go together. My Kummer, what does it mean by that? How does that explain? The Gaboy, my Neo Mamodos, and then you start reading a Pasuk. First explain what they are. It says, Hacha Kummer. Elohim Mamodos. The Mamodos are going to be explained in a minute. We explain what they are, how the Kohen of Yisraelim stood up and they supported with davening and laning during the Karbonos. Umatam tikna mamodos. What's the reason why they were a butter were matakana mamodos? Why did they decree that they should have mamodos? Lafish and Emar, the Pasuk says, Savas b'nei Yisrael v'martaleim, kapayam b'nei Yisrael, and tell them, Eskar milach mili yishai reach nichochitish meruli lakrimado. You were all bringing this singular carbon. You're all bringing one carbon. V'heyach karbar shalarim karb v'wein amar v'gab. How is it possible you bring a carbon and you're not standing there? You have to stand there like you're very good. If it's carbon yachi, you do smicha. You have to put your hands on it, but at least stand there. So, skin and viyam rishonim esr ma'arba mishpal. So, the viyam, as we said before, Shmuel and Dabur Mataken, that there should be 24. It was expanded to 24, as we'll see. 24 mishmaros. I'll call mishmar a mishmar on each and every mishmar of the kohanim. And that's where they serve twice a year. 24 mishmaros for each one's each mishmar served for a week. So, basically, times two is around 48 weeks a year, besides the tovim. So I'll call Mishmar, Mishmar HaYamamid Yerushalayim, there's a Mamid Yerushalayim, Shalakarim, Shalavim, Shalayisrael. So there was a Mamid in Yerushalayim, near in the base of Migdash, of Karim Levim Yisrael, who davened and prayed and supported the carbon as it was being brought by the Kohanim. He gives my Mishmar Lalos, when it came time for this Mishmar to serve, let's say, whatever, next week, is that coming up for the week? So Karim Levim, Olim Yerushalayim, it says Karim Levim, it doesn't say Yisrael here, it says Karim Levim went up to Yerushalayim, and the Yisraelim who were in Yerushalayim, because you had a population there, they were designated, the Kohen Levim had to go to Yerushalayim, even if they didn't live there. And they used the Yisraelim in Yerushalayim were assigned the task of the Mamed for that week. It was divided up. Each one had a different week. Tarabaram. Esr ma'arba mishmaros hayu b'Eretz Yisrael. There were 24 different mishmaros, again, shifts of the Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael. You remember that the Kohanim basically served one day out of that week. Each family of Kohanim served one day in the week. The other days they were there as one day b'Shavua, and the other days they were there as a Gibui. They were there to back up in case there was too many Karbanos. Also, the ones who were there during the Mishmar who weren't serving that day, they could serve on the Ma'amad. They could daven, they could lane in honor of the Karban. V'shtemes Rabbi Yericho. Now it said there were 24 mishmaros in Eretz Yisrael and 12 in Yericho. So it's Gemara Shtemes Rabbi Yericho and the Fish and Tuba that comes out total of 36. We only find there was 24. We don't find any 36. Ella Shtemes Rabbi Mehen be Yericho. 12 out of them, half of the 24 went to Yericho. He gives mana mishmar laos when it was time for that mishmar to shift. The shift that was your week of your 2 weeks in the year. Your week was coming up. So chatzim mishmar hayol Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim. Half the Mishmar went from wherever they were in Israel, they went to Yerushalayim. But Chatzi HaMishmar HaYol Li Yericho is the Gersa. And the other half went up to Yericho. Why did they go to Yericho? It's not like, it wasn't like a dead town like it is today. Yericho, which is a town neighbor in Yerushalayim, from there they would do the catering, basically. They did the catering for the 12 12 Mishmars who went to Yerushalayim. In other words, when they went up to Yerushalayim, so each mishmar was divided into two. There were 24 mishmaros, but when it was their turn to do the work in the base of Migdash, half went to the base of Migdash, the other half went to Yericho to supply them with catering. So he says here, even said before, Konovim went up to Yerushalayim, that was for the mishmar, because there were already Yisraelim in Yerushalayim who were assigned the duty of Mamed in Yerushalayim. And the Kohanim lived, and we said Yisraelim throughout Eretz Yisrael, they were also assigned at the same time, but they're in Haifa and Tel Aviv or Beersheba, they were also assigned the task of davening and laning at the same time as a certain Mishmar. They were all assigned one Mishmar. Without them, you can't bring a carbon. Rashi says, "Main mamad mikulam b'Yerushalayim, k'nei v'akol mishmar ha'yimam b'Yerushalayim, so kanam b'yim Yisraelim, given the kulu balam binan, given the kulu balam, since they're all the owners of the carbon, because the carbon is a carbon seber, binan d'lave, probably the Gemara says, minayu, d'lave kulu al-gabi v'arot, they all have to be there by the v'arot, they're all the balabatim of the, because even though the kanam b'yim have no land, but they all have a share in the carbon." So without the owner standing there, in other words, it's even though it's a carbon seabor and it belongs to everybody, but there have to be at least representatives of the seabor standing by the carbon. So Rabbi Yehuda says that if the Kohanim Leviim are not there, Kohanim Leviim are not there for the Mamed, there's no carbon. You don't bring the carbon. Masisa Tadar B'Shem Lazar Omer, Kohanim Leviim v'klei shir makvans the carbon. The Yisraelim are not makvid, but the klei shir are the instruments. Makvid, Gemara Sovel, Machlokes we had before. Iker shir bepet. The main shir is with pet. Leviim are there. That's all you need. We don't care if there's instruments there or not. You just have to have kohen being Yisraelim. The amar sover iker shir bekli. So without the kli, you don't have the avoda. Therefore, it has to be kohen leviim and klei shir. It doesn't mention Yisraelim in the second one. He just says kohen and leviim and the klei shir. That is to say that the Yisraelim, fine, there's representatives there too. But the kohen leviim could also be representatives. But without the kli, the kalim, which are necessary for the avoda, you can't do the carbon. Amar Rav Chava Bar Gori Marav, Moshe Tikkun on Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros. So we see that the Kohanim have to be there. Yisrael, obviously, Kohanim Levim have to do the avoda, and Yisrael and the Matakan, they should do Mamad also. But what's this business about which Kohanim serve when? So it's evident from the Psukim that they didn't all work all the time. They took different shifts. But how were the shifts divided up? So that was already what Moshe and the Nevi'im did. Moshe Tikkun Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros, eight Mishmaros, Avram Elazar, Avram Yisamar, the two sons of Aaron who survived, Elazar and Itamar, so all the Kohanim came from them. So they divided up Elazar's family into four and Itamar's family into four, and you had eight Mishmaros. So if you had eight Mishmaros, so basically they had to serve around 6 weeks a year, right? If that's what it was, 6 weeks a year. Shmuel came along with Midan al-Sheshah. He increased it to 16. So he halved it. So you only had to come, not six times, three times a year was good enough. You had 16 Mishmaros. That means that each Mishmar served for a week, three times a year, and that's your year. But David came after Shmuel, the Midan al-Eshem Rabbi. He increased it to 24. In other words, it's like, you know, we had more, the people had more vacation. Like, it's like, they had more vacation time by having more people involved. They had more vacation. They only had to show up 2 weeks a year. Shneimar, b'shnas arbaim malchus David, in the 40th year of David's reign, at this point Shmuel was not here anymore. Shmuel was no longer alive. Nidrashu, they sought out by Yimotzabem Giborachal. They found men of valor. The Azar Gil in that place. The point is they increased the. This is talking about how he increased the number of people in the Mishmar and the Mamad. But it was done at the time when Shmuel wasn't around anymore. So according to Rav Chama, there were three stages. Moshe, then Moshe had eight, Shmuel had 16, David had 24 Mishmaros. That was the order according to Rav Chama. Now the Gemara says, Meisvei Moshe tikkun Yisrael Shmona Mishmaros, Arba Lozer Mishmar. That part sounds good. Then Moshe started off by making eight shifts, four from Lozer, four from Yitamar. But David and Shmuel, it sounds like David and Shmuel came along together from Midan al-Eshem Rabba. They increased it to 24. Not that first Shmuel increased it to 16, then David increased it to 24, but rather David and Shmuel together increased it to 24. Shneimar, Hema, Yasad, they were instituted by who? By David and Shmuel. Harab and Manasseh, we saw their loyalty, whatever. They saw how good they were. So David and Shmuel instituted them. So you see, it wasn't that that Shmuel did 16 and David did 24. It's Mashmah David and Shmuel together did the 24. So this is what it means. Miyisoda shel David Shmuel, from the foundation, the basis of David Shmuel, Haramasi, Shmuel Haramasi, Hamidah Masim Rabbi, came out to 24. But it doesn't say, it doesn't mean that David and Shmuel together increased it to 24. You could say that together, that they based on David and Shmuel, it was eventually increased to 24. But how was that done? Shmuel first increased it from Moshe's number of 8 to 16, and then David increased it to 24. Rashi brings out two different gears, but the idea is really the same. Tanya. Moshe. Nama. David Chai Acharei Shmuel Niftach. Can said that Shmuel Acharei Moshe Rabbeinu Shmuel here bad said me Shmona Ad Shvia. Lo biyachad. Zema Shmuel Lo biyachad. Tanyich. Okay, but now on this idea of David and Shmuel that is created for a Tanyich Moshe Tikkun Yisrael Sheish Esrei Mishmar. So here's the problem. The problem is not David and Shlomo. Let's agree that David and Shlomo together increased it to 24, maybe in stages. But that's what Rav Chama says. But here you see otherwise. Here he says, Moshe was metaken Yisrael, Sheish Yisrael Mishmaris, Shmona Melazar, Shmona Mitamar. This is a different price that says that he did eight from Melazar, eight from Mitamar. Total that Moshe did 16, not eight. Ukshrova B'nei Elazar, B'nei Mitamar, when B'nei Elazar, for some reason, their families got bigger and there were a lot more of them than as the generations grew, Elazar got bigger than Mitamar. Cholkum, they divided it more, divided Elazar more, but Mitam Elazar Arba. Now, there's Moshe at 16, but half from Elazar, eight from Elazar, eight from Mitomer. And when Elazar got to be very popular, it was a big community, they increased Elazar by another eight for a total of Elazar 16, plus Mitomer's eight is a total of 24. But Mitam Elazar Arba, Shenemar, Vayimtsu B'nei Elazar, Vayimtsu B'nei Elazar Rabban, Rashi Barim, according to the households, B'nai Elazar were more than the B'nai Itamar. There were many of them. Then B'nai Itamar. Vayachalkum le'B'nai Elazar, and he divided Elazar Roshim le'Beis Avos. And he divided Elazar even more according to their heads of households. Shishasar divided up into 16. In other words, originally Moshe had done 8 Elazar, 8 Itamar. Elazar got very, very populated, and they needed more. It got very big, so there's no reason to make them come that often, and Elazar, and what happened was is that Shmuel, Elazar, Cholkum, when they got very big, they were divided up further into 24. But how? Elazar was divided up into went from 8 to 16, and Itamar stayed at 8. Well, the Bnei Itamar, the base of Shmuel still stayed 8. But Omer, another pasuk says, base of Echad Achuz Elazar, each one increased according to Elazar. In other words, for every family that there was before, there was a total of 8. They increased it one for the Elazar family, so it went from 8 to 16. The Achuz Achuz L'Itamar, what Itamar had, stayed the same. His portion, his proportion stayed the same. He had 8 before, he had 8 now. My remember, what do I need a second portion for? V'chitem k'echid n'fish b'nei Elazar. Hachanam n'fish b'nei Itamar. Maybe you meant like this, just like Elazar increased, and therefore they increased the number of his shifts from 8, divided up from 8 to 16. Maybe also Itamar also had increased. Shmona Mikara Arbav. Maybe when he had 8, originally he was 4 and he went to 8. Not that he always stayed with 8. Tashma, base of Echad, Echuz L'Elazar. Each family, had a family, increased by 1, by 1% or by 1 portion to Elazar. That means if he started with 8, he got 16. The Echuz L'Elazar L'Itamar. Itamar stayed the same. So you shouldn't think that Itamar also increased, but he went, just like Elazar went from 8 to 16, maybe Itamar went from 4 to 8. No, they both started off with 8. Elazar started off with 8, Itamar started off with 8. That was what Moshe did. And then later on, as Elazar got bigger, they increased Elazar from 8 to 16. That Omnam could be by David and Shlomo, or by Shmuel and David, rather. Shmuel and David increased to 16. But the question is, the Shiloh over here is, okay, Itamar started with 8, Elazar started with 8, Elazar was increased to 16, so you have Elazar at 16, Itamar 8, total of 24. But this is a kasha tifter Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Why? Because Rav Chama Bar Gurya said the Moshe started off with 4 and 4, total of 8. Here the Brisa says clearly it started off with 16. The Moshe started off with 16, 8 and 8. We're not discussing anymore that Shmuel and David. Shmuel and David, okay, increased it to 24. That seems evident. How they did it, was it in one stage? like Rav Chama said that Shmuel first went to 16 and then David went to 24. But here the Brisa says clearly that Moshe already started off with 16. So how does he resolve that? Om l'chor Rav Chama bar gur yatana, it's machlok is tanam. Ba'ana dam rechai tanam. Dam reshmon, it's very simple. I started off by saying, right, when you look at Rav Chama's words in the beginning of the first of the wide lines here, he says Moshe was talking 8, 4 and 4, right? And then we brought down the kasha that we asked, what do you mean? What do you mean that Shmuel went to 16 and David went to 24? It's mashma from the Brisa. Moshe said 8, 4, and 4. And David and Shmuel together made it up to 24. So we said it doesn't mean together 24. It could mean that together they wound up with 24 because Shmuel went to 16 and David went to 24, so that's all together. But the kasha is on Moshe. Moshe, did he start off? They started off at 16. So it's a kasha from Chama here, the Brisa says 16. The answer is that same Brisa we asked the kasha originally on Chama, when we were asking about Shmuel and David, how did that work? It says Moshe tikkun Yisrael Shmona. So that Brisa also says 8. So if Chama has what to stand on, Chama says, I go like the Brisa that says that Moshe started off at 8. Another Brisa says that Moshe started off at 16. 8 was 4 from Elazar, 4 from Itamar, and 16 was 8 from Elazar and 8 from Itamar. So it's two different Brises, the Machlokas and the Brises. How did it work? They ended up with 24 for sure. But how did it start? Did Moshe make 8 and then Shmuel 16 and David 24? Or did Moshe start off at 16 and David and Shmuel together increased it to 24? Tanur Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom of the page. Tanur Rabbanan, Arba Mishmaros Olu Meragola. Now we all know that just like in our times when the state of Israel was created and the Eschata de Gula, not everybody rushed back. You know, they're still only bringing in about 3,000 North Americans a year. Baruch Hashem from Russia, from Ethiopia, now from France a few thousand are coming. But they're not all rushing back. In the time of, this is the same way it was at the time of Ezra when, you know, he basically schlepped together 42,000 of the rejects and brought them here. That's what it is now. The schleppers, right? The miskenim who make aliyah. So he schlepped them together. Most of the people stayed overseas, stayed in Babel. Now, if David had 24 mishmarot, a total of 24 mishmarot, and here he says only 4 of them came back. Only 4 families, there's four shifts of Kohanim, 4 out of 24, pretty low percentage, came back with Ezra. Who were they? So these are the names. Each one had a name to the family. Elohim, Yediah, Harim, Pashchur, Beimer. Rashi says he doesn't know where Pashchur is not mentioned. With the 24 mentioned, he must have had a different name there. Probably changed names. They went bankrupt a few times on the trip. So Elohim, Yediah, Harim, Pashchur, Beimer. So they only had these 4. In other words, most of them, the other 20 didn't show up. Amduvim, Shabanam. So they still needed 24. They can't have everybody serving once a month for a week. Wouldn't be able to, you know, to draw salary, probably won't be able to work. So Am Yudavim Shams, they got up. They divided those 4 into 24. In other words, each one of those 4 families was further divided into 6. They made a petek for each one of them, names. They divided, like they had the name, let's say Yediah, plus 5 other people in his family, made 6 peteks, total of 6. So a total of 24. Lots that they put into the kalpi, into the draw. Ba Yediah v'nat al chelko b'chelik chaver of sheish. So Yediah came, and miraculously, when he put his hand in, he pulled out, he came first, and he pulled out his and the other 5 from his family. That was the Shechina did, that he pulled out the right ones. But the point was that he pulled out first. He was number 2. We see at the time of the first base of Mikdash, he was the number 2. The main guy, the one we'll see, was Yoriv, who was the main, the first who served first. He had the biggest covet. He never came. He didn't come back. So Yediah picked out his share, and then the other 5 lots that he picked out from his own family. That was the order in which they served. You know, let's say son number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He picked them out in that order. That's how they served. Total of 6. In other words, that was the order. The Chayin Hisnun, they made this condition. They decreed, even if he comes up later on, you know, after they did the fighting and built the country, then the people are going to show up now with this Chuyot and all that. Now Yo Yorav comes up, even though he was first at the time of the English, Lo Yitchi Yedayim Komo. Yedayim should not be pushed off from his spot as being the first of the shifts. He's still the first of the shift because he came up on time. He came up with Ezra. Ella Yedayim, even if Yorav comes up later on, Yedayim Iker Yorav Tafalo. Now it doesn't say that he actually came up, but they were talking at that time that if Yorav comes up, he'll take second position to Yediah because Yediah showed up. Even though, because Yediah was second during the first place of Mikdash, but he was the only one. But the first guy, Yoyarov, never showed up at the beginning. So if he came up later on, he'll just serve after Yediah. So Rashi says, yes, so that's right. So Rashi explains that in place of 6, so Yoyarov was still number 1 in the first, and we'll still give him some cover. So he'll come after Yediah, which means that Yediah will then be redivided into 5. one of his groups either be lost or they'll be divided among five, and Yoyarov would take place number six because he can't have more than 24. The Yisroelim also Mishmar Wisconsin Baram Bakar Mamais Bracious. And the Israelim, and that's all the Kohen Levim, we said, went up to Yerushalayim to serve. Half of them went to serve, half of them went to do the catering in Yericho, as we said. Right? And there were Yisraelim in Yerushalayim who were assigned that shift also to do the Mamed. And the regular Jews throughout Israel in Tel Aviv and Be'er Sheva and Haifa, wherever, they would get together in their shuls and they would read Ma'aseh Bereishis. Now, remember, what does that do with Ma'aseh Bereishis? You talk about the Karbonos. What does Karbonos have to do with Ma'aseh Bereishis? Maybe they should read the parsha of Karbonos like we read Ezo Makoman. No, I mean, Rabbi Yaakov Achama, what's it going on? Ravasi, really should be like my timer. Ravasi. Il Mali Mamadas, if it wouldn't be the Mamadas, Lonis Kami Shemayim Bars. If it wouldn't be the Mamadas, that doesn't mean the Mamadas, because we said the Mamadas are really Rabbanim. But it means that if it wouldn't be for the Mamadas which stand and support the Karbonos, that's what it means. If it wouldn't be for the Karbonos that atone for our sins, the heavens couldn't exist. Shenemar, Vayomar Hashem Elokim Bamoeda, when Hashem promised Avram that he's going to Yar Shenei Eretz Yisrael and they'll live for, and the Jewish people would live forever, Vayomar Hashem Elokim Bamoeda, how will I know, Kirushan, how will I know that I will inherit it? How will I know that? Omer Avram, that was the famous Bris Ben Absarim, and supposedly Avram was punished for that, but Farshim explained the nice pshat, the Moeda Kirushan, how do I know, not how do I know that you'll fulfill the words that you'll give it to me, how do I know there'll be a Yerusha? You see, Yerusha is never lost. A sale you could lose, right? Goes back in the end of 50 years or whatever it is, or it could be lost. But a Yerusha stays forever, stays in the family. So how do I know that I'll inherit? Shem Yisrael chot, maybe. How do I know it's going to be with me forever? Maybe Yisrael will sin. Maybe you'll do like you did with the Dor Mabla Flug. They'll be lost. The Dor Mug was literally wiped out. Dor Flug was figuratively wiped out because they lost the ability to be as a nation anymore. No, I won't do that. Let me know how. How will I be able to? You say it won't happen. How do I know? How will it not happen? Take from me a third grown calf and a third grown goat and bring it as a carbon. In other words, what he's hinting at is that how do you know that you'll never lose the Yerusha? Because you could always bring Karbonos to atone for your sins. And if you don't atone for, and that's the connection to Bereishis, because if you don't atone for your sins, then Yisrael is wiped out, then the world won't be, the world was created only for Bnei Yisrael, so there won't be a world either. In other words, L'Neskayimu, if it wouldn't be for the Karbonos, which atoned for the Jews, the world wouldn't exist anymore. The Shemayim Arutz would also be destroyed, because if there'd be no Jews, there's no world. So he said, how do I know that I won't be wiped out? Because you can always bring a carbon. Okay, almost for a bar shalom, tenapos manch basim mishkaim, that's when you can bring a carbon. There's no basim mishkaim, matelim, what's going to be with the Jews? When they can't atone for their sins with a carbon, and they sin, so they're going to be destroyed. Amalok, far tikanti lem, seder karbonos. I was talking that even if they can't bring their carbon, they can say the carbon. There's manch carbon, but on the fanai, when they read this, seder karbonos in front of me, malin, and kosov ki akrivim, it's as if we brought them. That's what we say every day. If you look in the siddur, if you say the karbonos, which should be said, it says after each one, Yiratzon Kiilu Hikrafti Ola, Yiratzon Kiilu Krafti, this as if I brought those, right? So and I forgive them for all their sins. So I forgive them for all their sins, even if they can't bring a carbon, they get it. So that's the connection. We read the Ma'amad. Why? Because we lay Parshas Bereishis, which talks about creation, to show that the world is here, the world is created, and will stay as long as we are forgiven by the Karbonos. If we have the Karbonos, we could still say Karbonos and atone for our sins that way too. That's for the Jewish people in general. Tan Rabbanan, Ein Shei Mishmar Yemesman Al Korban Acheim. The people of the Mishmar, that means the people in the Mishmar itself, that's the Kohanim, not the Ein Shei Ma'amad, the Mishmar. So they were mispal al korban achem. They were mispal for the korban. What do you mean they were mispal for the korban achem? Didn't we just say they bring the carbon? They're not mispal. The regular Yisraelim are mispal. No, we said like this: the Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim of that mishmar in Yerushalayim are also mispal. The ones in Haifa and other ways, they only could be mispal. Like Elaine and be mispal. The ones in Yerushalayim, the Kohanim themselves are doing the avoda. Only a certain day on Tuesday. Today, Tuesday, is only one family does it. The other families who serve Sunday through Friday, right? Those other, the other families, they're mispalo on Tuesday when their brethren, when their priestly brethren are bringing their korbanos on Tuesday. The other kohanim are mispalo for them. He mispalo kavanachem. She skalva brotzen. She should be accepted with goodwill. And the people in Mam, that means the people outside of Yerushalayim go into the shuls, and they sit, they fast 4 days. B'sheni b'shavas on Monday, b'shlishi on Tuesday, b'ravi Wednesday, b'chamishi on Thursday. They fast on all those days, the people of the Mamet. Again, those are people who are designated. That doesn't mean that the people in Haifa have to fast every Monday through Thursday. It means when they have that designation, 2 times a year, basically 2 weeks a year. What were they davening? In Yerushalayim or outside? The same tefillas, whatever they were mispalo, that should be accepted brotzon. Yeratzon sheyeh karbon miskabel brotzon. Besides the laning, besides the kriyas Torah, they're mispalo that should be accepted, right? In the siddur it says you don't say the yeratzon on Shabbos, right? Pretty much because you don't bring the karbonos. Those karbonos aren't always brought on Shabbos. The karbonos
don't typically have that. There's the
they what? They, oh, it doesn't even. No, here the Ashkenaz has it. Yeratzon. Don't have it? Probably a misprint. Bring it up with the blitz here. You know. Yeah. All right. So, they say for Monday through Thursday fast. Now, why do they fast Monday through Thursday? On the second day, we mentioned that Hashem says Hashem will put the rakia b'tocha mayim. Mentions the water, so we're mispalo for the people, for the sailors who are at risk, the lives are at risk in the sea. V'shlishi on Tuesday, we mispalo al holchem midbaris, because there it says v'seira hayabasha, the dry land. He has to have the ability to walk on dry land. If they're walking in the midbar, that's on dry land. We're mispalo for them. V'ravi al askura shalot tipol al tinokas. On Wednesday, we're mispalo for the children. Why? On the children that shouldn't get, strep throat or whatever it's called, croup, whatever it is, that their throat shouldn't be constricted. Why is that? Because on that day, it's an interesting thing, because on that day, the heavenly bodies, like the sun and the moon, were hung up in the sky, and it says, Yima'oros, Ma'oros Ksiv, it says that Ma'oros, like Chaser, Ma'ara means a curse, so they shouldn't be cursed. From his fall, that they shouldn't get a curse on that day. In other words, it's sitting to mispal on everybody, but specifically those groups. B'chamishi on Thursday, al ubros amanikas, on pregnant and nursing mothers. Ubros shalayapi, we pray for the pregnant mothers that they shouldn't miscarry. And manikas shenikas men, that they should have milk. They should be able to nurse. They should because in those days, if they couldn't nurse, they didn't have artificial stuff, and the kids could die. So they're mispal for that. Why? Because on Thursday we mentioned yishvutzu. We mentioned about creeping things should populate the earth, and so this is the idea that that the people also should be sure should increase and multiply also like creeping things. On Friday, Erev Shabbos Lomisan, on Friday they did not fast at all because of Kavod Shabbos. They shouldn't come into Shabbos fasting and not feeling good. Kavod Chom Shabbos also, certainly on Shabbos itself they couldn't fast. Be'achav Shabbos on Sunday. My time, why didn't they fast then? So several reasons are brought down. Or we go from Nan Notstrom. How do you translate Notstrom here?
Christians.
Yeah, you say Christians. Were there Christians? Think about it. At the time, right? Huh? Nazarians, right. So, of course, at the time of the Gemara, there were Christians, right? But at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when we were talking about the Mamad, so what does it mean? It must mean that these Nazareans, the Notzrim, why are they called Notzrim? Because Jesus was from Nazareth, from Notzrim, right? But apparently you see that the Notzrim had a custom that Sunday was there. They had the blue laws already before the time of Osoa Ish, right? Right. It was Sunday was their day, right? So it was a Notzrim. Pardon? That's right. Oh, I don't know what they did. I don't know. I don't know why they. No, right. Exactly. But the Christians did it. Why did they change it? Why did they pick it? It could be that there was the Minigan in his town was they liked Sunday off. They had double headers. They had all kinds of stuff on Sundays. They liked it better, so they picked Sunday. Or why did he pick Sunday? I'm saying from the Gemara is talking about what they did at the time of the Mikdash. Time of the Mikdash, there was no Christianity yet. So obviously, Notzrim simply means the mini over there was. They kept Sunday. So, and those were Goyim. And you didn't want to offend them. So Rabbi Yochanan says the reason they didn't fast on Sunday because it would be starting up with the Goyim. We're always afraid to start up with the Goyim. Rav Shmuel Rachmanim Reishu Shlishi Liyitzira. Very simple. Because man was created on Friday. We all know, on the third day after creation, third day after a bris, you're weak. That's the weakest time. So the third day after creation, they're weak, so they shouldn't fast on the day that they're physically weak, so to speak, that we're always weaker on Sunday. Most of us are weaker on Sunday because we're recovering from the challenge, right? But that's the idea here, is that it's the third day after we were created. Because Neshama Yisera is gone. Right, you just lost the Neshama Yisera. After Abdullah has lost Neshama Yisera, Damar Shlakesh, Neshama Yisera Nidva Vodim, Neshama Yisera was given to a person, Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, at the entrance, when Shabbos comes in, we get the Neshama Yisera. If you make Shabbos early, you get a little bit early. Matzai Shabbos, note that it's in matter. After Shabbos, Abdullah, they take it away. Shneamar, Shavas Vayinafash. He rested, he kept Shabbos, and he was Vayinafash, and he was relaxed, refreshed, yeah. Relaxation. He was relaxed. So how does he darshan? Shavas, once it's over, Kivan Shavas, once you finish one, Vai of the Nefesh. He translates it, he speaks the word by Nefesh, and he splits it up to a word, Vai of Nefesh. We say, whoa, the Nefesh, the Nefesh has gone away. So he says, telling you that after Shavas, things are... So three reasons why we don't fast on Sunday. One, because not to offend the non-Jews. Another reason is because we're weaker on that day, because it's the third day of Yetzirah, and he says, because we're weaker on that, because the Neshama Yisera is gone. Even though we didn't have the Neshama Yisera on Wednesday either, or on Thursday, or on Tuesday, right? We didn't have that. But if it just left, that makes you weaker. It takes a while to recover. Now, we said that on these various days, the first day on Sunday, the Mamed, they laned the first two parshas of Bereishis, Bereishis and Yekiyah. Tanur Bereishis B'Shnayim, Bereishis, the first parsha of Bereishis, has five psukim, is read by two people. Yerikiyah with the second parsha, which is three psukim, is read by three. So we all know you're always supposed to read three psukim when you get up to the lane. It shouldn't be less than three psukim. So Bishlam Yerikiyah Be'achad Tlas Psukim. It's three psukim. So I understand why, like it said, Kohen Levi Yisrael, right? That's the order that you have to read. So the Levi, the Yisrael, rather, reads three psukim. That's Yerikiyah. Ela Bereishis B'Shnayim. But how do you read Bereishis with two, right? What's that? He takes out the word my time or Vitanya. Hey psukim, it's five psukim. So how do you read that? How do you read five psukim with two people? Vitanya, we learn. Hakor b'Torah la'ifas migimel psukim. You shouldn't read less than three psukim. So I understand. How does the first parsha, the Bereishis, until Vayirak Yom Echad, that's five psukim. So how do you divide Kohen and Levi five psukim? That's all there is five psukim. So how does that work? And we said that's what has to be read those days, because the first day corresponds to the first day of creation. Then we go into the second day. So you add one more, like you do on Sukkot, where you add the other days also. But not more than that. So how does five Sukkot get divided into two people equally? So two answers. Rav Amar Dolet. Rav says we skip. Skip means can skip backwards also, like we do on Rosh Chodesh, right? Where in order to have three full psukim, we repeat the pasuk. Which pasuk do we repeat? The Amarta or whatever it is? The third pasuk, right? Repeat that pasuk. So he says, very good. You read two psukim. You read the first guy reads three, and the second guy repeats the third pasuk and reads the last two. Shmuel Amar posuk. You split it in the middle. You split the pasuk down the middle. So the Gemara's gonna ask kashas on both. Rav Damer Doleg, my time. Why does he say that you? Why does he say you skip? As you skip back and you repeat the one pasuk. Why does he say you split the pasuk? Because he holds the famous line, the kol psukim lo pasukim moshe and lo paskina. We can't read half a pasuk. That's why we never read half a pasuk. If somebody, the kid says Laney and he says Hashem's name, make sure you finish the whole pasuk. Unless you say, the person can say Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, then I can say I said a whole pasuk, but I can't say half the pasuk. Why? Because we have a kol. If Moshe didn't split the pasuk, we don't split it. Most of Farshim say that doesn't apply to Nach. It only applies to Torah's Moshe. Fine, but still, at least in the Torah itself, you don't split that. Shmuel Amar Posek, he says you split it down the middle. He says you do split. Umi Paskinen, right? How could he do that? Obviously, he doesn't hold to that line of Moshe. That rule about Moshe, that Posek, that Moshe didn't split, we don't split. Paskinen of Amar Rav Chanina Karah, that was his name. He was the reader. He was the Bible teacher. He was the expert, the Bucky and the Chumash. I had great trouble. Eitzel Rav Chanina. It took me. I had a lot of anguish with Rav Chanina. Why? And the Rechinina cried. It's called that as opposed to Rechinina Gadol. Lo Hitchali lifts like all the elders. I wanted to split up a pasuk just to explanation for learning. He says the only time you're allowed to say half a pasuk is for the children learning. Tanaka Shabbos Rabbim. Whole Vaslaman assuming they can't remember a whole pasuk. And as I wouldn't be able to teach them, if I read the whole pasuk and then tried to explain it, it wouldn't go. I got to explain it, like, so to speak, half by half or phrase by phrase. So he was matur. You could say half a pasuk or a third of a pasuk or a tenth of a pasuk only for children learning. So that's the only reason it's mutter. But over here, you wouldn't be able to split a pasuk. Shmuel will answer. Shmuel says you do split the pasuk here. Hasam time and what's the reason I'm Shmuel Efsher? Because otherwise, kids can't learn. Hakanami lo Efsher. Here also, there's no other way to do it. You've got five sukkim. The only way to split it between two people is to say the first guy reads two and a half sukkim, the other guy reads two and a half sukkim. Shmuel on pasuk my term. So why doesn't he say like Rav says? Why doesn't he say? Rav already explained why he doesn't say like Shmuel because I can't split a pasuk. So I got to repeat it. But why doesn't Shmuel hold like Rav that you could just go back and repeat that third pasuk a second time? Shmuel Amar Pasuk My Tam Lamer Dalik says Gzeir Mishum Nachnasim Gzeir Mishum Yotzen. The people come in late. It wasn't a new thing that people come in late and people come and people leave early, right? It wasn't a new thing yet. Here's the problem: the people who come in late and see that say the guy come walks into Levi, and what does the Levi read? He reads the last three psukim out of the five, right? So he's going to think that the Kohen only read two psukim. Or let's say a guy leaves after the Kohen read the first three psukim, and then the Levi's going to repeat the third pasuk and then said the fourth and the fifth. But if the guy leaves, he's got to go to work, and the guy leaves right after Kohen and he sees the Kohen read three, he's going to think that the Levi's only going to read two. So and he'll think that you're allowed to go with two psukim, and that you certainly can't do. So Shmuel says it's better to split the pasuk so that if a person comes in later, comes in early, we'll see this guy's reading two and a half, that guy's reading two, if we'll understand. Otherwise, a guy leaving, coming in later, leaving early, will think that one of them only read two psukim.
Walk away thinking split the psukim, I don't understand.
But what?
It's the same problem with logic. You walk away thinking, oh, I'm allowed to split a pasuk, so he's going some other thing.
That's right. He will split a pasuk in this, in here.
He'll realize it.
No, he'll say, not in general. He'll say that you can split a pasuk in the circumstances that I just left.
Yeah, why not?
On which day? No.
On the day where they have to, on the mamadas, we have to.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Otherwise, it's a day of exception, right? Because you have a situation of a problem with lots of the two.
That's right, all right. So
you were saying on one hand, I can make the exception and say, guy walking in the middle, and suddenly you're concerned about the guy here with the muscle, you know.
The guy coming in later will think that the other guy, the one that he missed, the guy who's left, he will think the other guy ran only two, and he'll extrapolate and he'll say that you can always do that.
I can always
read two and a half. Okay.
Logic.
Yeah. But as we'll see in a minute, there's no reason to read two and a half in any other circumstances.
Understand?
So you could say, why will he think that it's okay to read two? Well, two is a problem. Two and a half is not such a problem. Two and a half is not such a problem. That's what he's saying. Let's say the parsha of three psukim. The first guy reads three. The other guy reads two. Mi parsha zu. He reads two from this parsha. But echel mi parsha. Then he starts a third parsha. Some say from the other parsha you should read three. The fishing maskil parsha pachum shashi. You never start a parsha unless you're going to read three psukim. So lamanda or doleg. So it's a kashan both of them. The one who says doleg lilak. Why don't you just repeat? Why don't you repeat it? Lamanda or posek lifsuk. And the one who says you split it. Why didn't you split it there too? If you've only got five, you have no choice. It's a shiny hosam dislay rafcha. Because in the other parsha, in general, you're talking about say on a Monday or a Thursday or whatever the situation is, or minch on Shabbos or even on Shabbos if it was a small parsha like Azinu. Because you could always go on. It's not a problem. You have plenty of reading psukim. Here, on the Ma'amaris, are only reading specifically Bereishis. So you've only got Bereishis and Yirakiya. On Monday, you got Yirakiya and Yikavu. So you've only got this specific one. You've got a finite amount. So here, there's no other option. Either to repeat or, like a Rosh Chodesh, where you don't have an option, because that's your Parsha. You're reading specifically something from the Minyan of the Yoma, so you have to repeat it or you have to split it. You have no option. And a regular day, so you go on to the next Parsha. It's not a problem. So you ask him, why don't you extrapolate? Why don't you think if you can extrapolate this? So probably not likely to extrapolate to two as you would from two and a half.